Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of Central Depository Services (India) Limited, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anshuman Singh from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Axis Capital, a very warm welcome to the Q2 FY22 conference call of CDSL India Limited. We have the management team of CDSL represented by Mr. Nehal Vora, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Nayana Ovalekar, Chief Regulatory Officer, Mr. Ramkumar, Chief of Business Operations, Mr. Vinay Madan, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Sunil Alvares, Managing Director and CEO, CDSL Ventures Limited, Mr. Swaroop Kumar Gothi, VP, and Mr. Nilesh Kittur, AVP. Without further ado, I will hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and Nehal, sir, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anshuman. I wish everybody a very good morning. I welcome you all to the CDSL's quarterly conference call for quarter ended September 30th, 2021, and I hope each one of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. I'm joined on this call by other members of our management team who will address your questions later as you may have. Throughout the history of CDSL, we have invested and invented in our business to build a truly diversified and strong organization that performs across market regulations and developments with a commitment to serving investors, all market infrastructure institutions, regulators, shareholders, and employees. The current financial year is also a representation where we have experienced some good business and financial performance as a result of the efforts of all market infrastructure institutions. The growth of the Demat accounts is also a reflection of the growth in the unique client codes at the stock exchanges. With the growth in business, we continue to focus on providing services to the securities market and to the investors at large to strengthen and execute our vision of making our investor truly self-sufficient or Atmanirbhar. We continue to provide for platforms and e-services such as Easi, Easiest, eDIS, e-voting, et cetera, that aim at providing convenience to the investor to operate their Demat accounts from the comfort of their homes. I'm sure that all of you would have already reviewed the financial results and the investor presentation for the quarter. Now I request Mr. Ramkumar, our Chief of Business and Operations, to take you through our business performance. Over to you, Ram.
Thanks, sir. Good morning. I'll just take you through the business update. During the last 3 months, that is the quarter two of 2021-22, we have opened approximately 68 lakh accounts. The growth has taken the total number of active accounts, the BOIDs, as at the end of Q2 FY21-22 to 4.65 crore accounts. This value of securities in the Demat custody has increased to 35.21 lakh crore. We continue to provide services in line with the transformation and requirements of the current times to promote digital initiatives of the government. In addition to our e-voting services, we also offer services to hold annual general meeting through the video conference to make the AGM a hassle-free event for the shareholders and the company. We also provide email updation services as well as a mobile updation services to companies to update the shareholder database to ensure that the dissemination of communication to the shareholders is valid, sufficient, and productive. Before I hand over to our CFO, I would like to take a brief moment to place our appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, the beneficial owners, the depository participants, the issuers, the regulators, employees and other market participants for their constant faith in us. Now I would request Mr. Girish, our CFO, to take you through our financial performance. Thanks.
Thank you, Ram Kumar. Good morning, everyone. On the financial performance, the total income on a consolidated basis for the quarter ended September 30th, 2021 has increased by rupees 63.98 crores, which is representing 63% to 165.15 crore against the previous year same quarter income of 101.17 crore. The net profit on a consolidated basis for the quarter ended September 30, 2021 is increased by rupees 37.19 crore, which is 76% to 86.06 crore, and corresponding previous quarter it was 48.87 crore. The total income on a standalone basis for the quarter ended September 30, 2021 has increased by rupees 48.77 crore, which is almost 62% to rupees 127.92 crore. Against previous year same quarter income of around 79.15 crore. The net profit after tax on a standalone basis for the quarter ended September 30th, 2021 has increased by rupees 30.34 crore, which representing 80% increase to rupees 68.40 crore. Against the previous year same quarter, total net profit of 38.06 crore. Now I would request Sunil Alvarez to talk about the operations of our wholly owned subsidiary CDSL Ventures Limited. Thank you. Sunil, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Girish. Good morning to all of you. On the CVL front, we had another good quarter in terms of the KYC records created. Increased by 36 lakhs in this entire half year. So there was a growth of almost 130% in terms of new records created. In terms of the KYC records which were fetched by intermediaries from CVL, the number of records jumped from 60 lakhs in H1 FY21 to 1 crore 56 lakhs in H1 FY22, which was a growth of about 158%. In terms of CKYC records processed also, there was a jump of almost 31%, that is from 5,83,000 records to about 7,63,000 records. And similarly, on the RTA front also, the number of companies currently handled by CDSL is 750 as compared to 665 in H1 FY21, which was a growth of about 13%. With regard to the financial results for H1 FY22, okay, the operational income increased by 95% as compared to H1 FY21. And the total income increased by 77% from 38.15 crores in H1 FY21 to 67 crores in H1 FY22. The profit before tax increased by 75% in H1 FY22 to 43 crores as compared to 24 crores in the same period last year, and the profit after tax increased by 71% in this year, so that the profit after tax was 32.61 crores in H1 FY22 as compared to 19.05 crores in H1 FY21. With that, I'll hand over back to Anshuman so that we can have the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kunal Thanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers and happy Diwali to the entire management team and the employees of CDSL. So you know, my first question was, you know, on the KYC business, like we had seen a notification coming for eKYC where there was a reduction in the, you know, charges by UDI. Can you help us understand, you know, how does that impact our realizations for new verifications, new registrations under the eKYC business? That is question number one. Second is, you know, in respect to technology glitch that, you know, was found in, again in the, you know, CDSL Ventures, there was a news article wherein it was said that, you know, there was some vulnerability in the system. If you can, you know, take us through what actually happened and, you know, where we are in terms of security, you know, or cyber security, among other things. And thirdly, on Mutual Fund Central as a platform that came up last month, last quarter, like how is, you know, CDSL playing a role there, or in fact the board depository playing a role there? How much, you know, like is there any financial opportunity going ahead because of this platform coming in? Yeah, those would be my three questions.
Okay. I'll ask Sunil to take the first two questions and then I'll take the third question. So over to you, Sunil.
Yeah, can you come with your first question again? I had some slight disturbance.
Yeah, so there was a notification that UDI has reduced, you know, the new registration charges for eKYC. So wanted to understand, does it also translate into our realization for eKYC coming down from $20 to $3?
Yeah, I mean, see, what happens is, so far as eKYC is concerned, we normally charge whatever his CVL charges for eKYC plus the UIDAI charges. So to that extent, you know, if the UIDAI charges comes down, okay, so whatever we bill the customers would be down from, say, 25 rupees what we were charging earlier to maybe about 8 rupees what would be, you know, the charges after the UIDAI revision. So to that extent, you know, that the top line could get impacted. And so far as the bottom line is concerned on the expenses side also, the expenses would be restricted to just 3 rupees now as against 20 rupees earlier. So I hope that answers your first question.
So broadly, just the revenue, like if we go out from revenue, we'll go out from cost, and for us, the net realization remains the same, right?
It remains the same, yeah. Okay.
Great.
Point number two is on the glitch which was there in CVL. First and foremost, it was a vulnerability alert which we had received, okay, and unlike what the news, some of the news articles said, there were a lot of factual, you know, factually incorrect things mentioned in that. We have identified the glitch, our IT team has identified the glitch, and we have thereafter plugged the same. And secondly, you have to appreciate that it was within the investor login of the KRA data, so that any investor who wants to log in and see the status of his KRA has to, you know, mention his PAN and date of birth, and then he gets an OTP. So to that extent, it was extremely secure. So somebody who's extremely IT savvy, you know, could have gone and taken advantage of it. But actually, it has not happened, and we have also confirmed that there has been no data breach as well.
Got it. Sure, that's helpful. Yeah, thanks.
And on the third one, on Mutual Fund Central, I think the first is divided into two phases. First is the RTAs will gather the information from the depositories. We are already sharing that data with the RTAs. As phase two, I think possibly by the end of the calendar year or in the first month of next calendar year, January, the phase two will get initiated, where the depositories also will start getting the files from the RTAs. So it will be a two-way mutual fund central information platform, which will be available across RTAs and the depositories.
So if I get it at the phase two, we will also be able to monetize something out of it, right?
Yeah, so that we will wait and watch. There is an expectation, but again, will be difficult to comment on that at this stage, because what would be the charges, etc. To begin with, it may be kind of probably free or next to free. But we'll see how it goes. It's finally driven by the regulator. So we'll see how the charges, etc.
Right now it is free, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, got it. Thanks for that. If I can squeeze just one more from, from like Girish, I wanted to, so there has been, a change in the revenue segmental subheads this quarter in the presentation. If you can, help me with this quarter's number for annual issuer charges, transaction charges, online data charges, IPO and corporate action, consolidated cash, e-voting and others, it would be like really helpful.
Okay. So the transaction charge for quarter two is 49.73 crores. IPO corporate action income is 21.5 crore. Online data charge income is 30.29 crores. Annual issuer income for the quarter is 28.81 crores. E-voting is 5.09 crores. And cash statement charges is 3.69 crores. I hope I have answered your question.
Sure, Girish, that is helpful. Thank you so much. And happy Diwali to the entire team. I'll get back to
you. The same. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thanks for the opportunity. So my question is related to the the insurance repository. So like, what's happening there? So we have opened around 6 lakh insurance accounts. So are we seeing any pickup there? So that is the first question. And another question is similarly on the the commodity repository, this thing CCRL. Are we seeing any pickup there? And the third question will be, we have seen that the competitor has been aggressive on the payment side, right? They are offering banking services apart from the depository services. So, are we having any plans to offer, such kind of services?
Okay. I'll ask Ram Kumar to answer the insurance question. And I'll answer the commodities and the payment bank question.
Sir, as far as the insurance business is concerned, presently, not many insurance companies have taken to it for the reason that it is not mandated by the regulator. That is point number one. Point number two is that as we go along, we are seeing people showing interest in holding policies in the electronic form, but we are a long way away from the way the depository or the securities market has kind of evolved from the time the depository started in late 90s.
In terms of the commodities business, it's also going through a fair amount of changes on the regulatory front. It's a regulated business. And I think there are discussions happening across extending the ENWRs not only in the agri-based business, but the non-agri-based business. So we'll have to, we are there in terms of there, and the important thing is that we've kept our costs under control so that the entire business remains profitable. But at the same time, we are there with the requisite building blocks to ensure that this entire business can be taken up as and when the rules permit them to do. As regards payment bank, that had been assessed in the past at CDSL around 3-4 years ago. We continue to assess new and new opportunities as to whether it is feasible within the framework. There are certain levels of conditions which needs to be fulfilled. The CDSL would be eligible. our teams are constantly assessing in terms of the business opportunities which would be the most important businesses to be take this forward.
In terms of the license, we have the payment bank's license or
we don't have the payment license as of now.
Okay. So first you'll have to apply for that, evaluate it, and then we can go ahead.
First will be the evaluation, and then we will see if feasible, and then we'll take it forward from there.
Okay, sir. And sir, on the annual issuer charges, what has been the progress on the addition of unlisted? Because during COVID, it has slowed down. But have you seen like any kind of pickup there? And also on the RTA front, is RTA going to be a significant line of business for us? Or because we have the RTA license, but we have not been seeing any significant traction there.
Yeah, so this quarter has seen some robust growth in the in terms of the annual issuer fees as well as the RTA business with CVL. So that continues to grow as more and more companies will access the securities market. We will start seeing more and more traction out there. So it has seen fairly good growth over the previous year. So we are continuously there, and we continuously want to innovate to ensure that it becomes easier for companies to access our platforms.
Okay. And also, sir, in terms of the revenue from the pledge side, so has that seen significant traction, or the monthly rate of 1.5 to 2 crores is like what we are seeing there on the pledge side?
We kind of disclose it as a consolidated number as part of our market driven. We don't, it is a function of the overall market delivery volumes, and as we are seeing a good build up on the cash market volume and the delivery based volumes, this is kind of a function of that. So that is also seeing some amount of growth.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Paresh Sangani from Club Millionaire. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations to you and your entire team for yet again a fantastic performance.
Thank
you. And hearty festive greetings to all of you as well. I had some questions which have been answered by Kunal, but just had a couple more. First is, we have almost 1,000 crores of cash lying with us. Wanted to give you a perspective. I know it's required for a network purposes. What about inorganic opportunities like getting into adjacent offerings? For example, we are late into e-sign. Would we consider acquiring somebody or, getting into adjacent product offerings? And then the second one would be regarding, is there any one-off on the KRA or KYC? Because I remember the SEBI mandate last year where they wanted to update all the KRAs, right? So it could be one-time project. And I know that we have about 68% market share, and therefore we may not have to update our process. So have we done anything on that, or is there any update on that as well? And third is on the old projects like NAD, National Academic Project, obviously, right? Any update on that as well? Any progress on that as well, Nehal?
Okay. That's I think all of these are pertaining to CVL. I'll ask Sunil to answer these three questions.
The first question you had was on one-off on the KRA. Okay, so far as the KRA update is concerned, okay, we are continuously updating as and when, any modifications, etc. are reported to us by the reporting entity, because it's the responsibility of the reporting entity to do the KYC. We have already validated all the PANs, etc. with the IT database. So to that extent, our database is updated, and we'll be shortly also updating the PAN Aadhaar linkage. So to that extent, it will be updated with the PAN Aadhaar linkage as well. The second part is on the NAD progress, is that the MHRD had decided that DigiLocker will be the sole depository for National Academic Depository. and both the depository would be out of that. So effectively for the last 2 years, DigiLocker is the depository. We have tried to, you know, offer this service as a private service vendor to various universities. So far we have around 8 universities who have registered with us. But we had problems during the lockdown because most of the universities, etc. were closed. So we couldn't touch base with most of them. So maybe once this lockdown thing, normalizes, then maybe we would see more universities joining up. So we are keeping our fingers crossed on that. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, the question on the capital allocation, 1,000 crores is an inorganic opportunity.
So I think as a market infrastructure institution, once the minimum regulatory capital is maintained, the strength of basically the balance sheet is extremely critical when you are running a financial market infrastructure institution company. We have a fairly liberal dividend policy of distributing about 60% of our operating profits as dividend. But it is also important to build the balance sheet that whenever, if case, if there is basically a year in which the income is muted, etc., the financials of the company remain strong and it becomes a very stable company going forward. So my sense is that we will continue to embark upon building the strength of our financial statements, especially the balance sheet. Keeping in mind the shareholder interest, we have embarked upon about 60% of the operating profits as being declared as a dividend to the shareholders.
Nihil, I was asking on the inorganic opportunities, right? Are you looking at acquiring any companies, etc.? Some product offerings within our realm of affairs?
No, so in the current scheme of things, we are building on our existing platform, our technology platforms.
Right.
Because with the scale of business growing, you have to prepare for basically the infrastructure and getting the more advanced infrastructure in. So technology is going to be spent. The people, as we are growing in scale, will need to increase our teams also to ensure that we're able to service them. We are fully in sync with the opportunities like basically the IFSC, GIFT City, the Gold Spot Exchange, which will have a depository arm also coming in, both in the local and the foreign jurisdictions. We are completely like the mutual fund central is another business line which is going to be this. So I think it's kind of more of an internal growth in terms of newer platforms and products coming in. We believe technology is the main driver of our businesses. We like to be in control of that. And accordingly, we prefer to kind of build most of them internally. But having said that, if there are some interesting opportunities which may come up in future, we will consider on a case-by-case basis.
Just last one question, if I can squeeze in, Nehan, on eSign. The way we offer a product, is it only a one-time cost basis or charge basis, or is it going to be an annuity kind of a basis? I'm sure we've launched it by now. Some perspective on that would help.
So it is on a per eSign basis. So as the intermediary uses our facility for eSign, we will be charged on a per eSign basis.
Okay, and this is operational, right, Sunil? Not fully operational?
Yeah, this is operational.
It's operational.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Aveka Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Can you please give how you could play a role in the account aggregator opportunity whether CDSL can have a business model over there. Thank you.
So the account aggregator model is basically an RBI initiated platform, which is through a non-banking finance company. But I think there are various models which are being debated and deliberated at policy level. We kind of have in a conceptual sense the consolidated account statement, which gives a list of all the financial assets in the securities market being given to the investor. And obviously, the policy thinkers are also thinking if the other non-security based assets can also be added to ensure that it gives a far wider consolidated view of a person's financial assets. So that is as and when the policy and the permissions permit us, but we are constantly innovating to ensure that it continues to remain easy for the investors to go forward.
But you would consider being playing an active role in this particular opportunity if it were to come up?
Yes, yes, of course, because we are an integral part of the entire ecosystem, and we are a repository of the financial assets of the customer. So we are definitely within, we would be definitely wanting to be a part of it, and we shall be a part of this as and when the policy kind of opens up on this.
Great, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kunal Thandi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity again. So my question was again on the same question that Gopal had asked on the account aggregator. So if you look at, you know, how things have been playing out, there has been a long talk about a single DMAT in India, which, you know, takes care of all the assets, financial assets that one can buy. However, now, you know, in last 6 months, we have seen account aggregators coming up in a, you know, big way, and then there's some NFM also coming up, which, you know, consolidates your, you know, mutual fund holding at one place. How, you know, on a policy level, what's the sense in terms of getting into the last mile, which is, you know, single DMAT across financial assets? Any color on that, and, you know, from the policy point of view and from CDSL point of view, how we plan to, you know, participate there?
So this is yet being deliberated, so it's yet work in progress. It's not yet formulated as to how it will work on a consolidated basis. But I think I would just like to assure you that CDSL will definitely be there in whichever form it comes out. We have already started some pieces of it in terms of, as you mentioned, about mutual fund central and also the consolidated account statements, as I mentioned earlier. So the important theme which I would like to focus on is that CDSL continues to engage itself to ensure that it is completely up to speed in terms of what is permissible within that regulatory framework. And as and when it opens up, we should be there to ensure that we are able to take basically extend this facility to the newer avenues as and when they are permitted by the regulators.
Sure, got it. Thanks. And second question was on, you know, this gold spot exchange thing, like any, development there, like how things are moving on the regulatory front. Like when should, you know, from, you know, say 1 or 2 year perspective, like when could it be operational and up and running?
On the local side, there are a lot of policy deliberations going on as to how that regulatory framework will be formulated. I think it will take probably 1 or 2 quarters, looks like, from the looks of it, but it will be difficult to predict as to when it will go live. But I think about 2 to 3 quarters, it should be really up and running. But we'll have to wait and watch. I will not able to firmly commit on the date.
Okay, makes sense. And lastly, on the annual issuer charges, like there any, is there any, you know, talk about increment, like MSN Mojo, because if we have to make a joint application, any visibility there, or we still trying to hold it on for a year or so?
We'll wait and watch yet. We'll see how this COVID should completely ease off, I think. And then we will take a call jointly between the two depositories.
Sure. Well, thanks, Nihal. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujan Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I have one question. Sir, I'm trying to go through your latest financial report. So it is financial year 2021. I couldn't be able to find it. Is there any reason why it is not released?
Financials have been released the day it got announced on 30th October. It is there on the CDSL website as well as the NSE website where we are listed on. So you can access it from in either of the places.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Kumar to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sanket Bodha from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have three, four questions. First question is, can you give us the exact figure of pledge income what you made in the current quarter, given we made around 3.25 crores last quarter. So if you can share that number, it would be great, sir. That's my first question.
I'll just ask the CFO, Girish, to...
So pledge income is, for the quarter, it is 3.57 crore.
Okay. And any specific reason do you believe, sir, this is not seeing significant traction? Because after peak margin rules, everyone thought that this might be a potential big source of revenue. Which did not play out as expected. So any specific reason do you believe, or are people are bringing the money which they intend to bring with the peak margin compliance, and therefore the traction was not visible?
I think as I had said earlier, though we may see it in isolation, I think it should not be seen in isolation. It should be seen as a consolidated number with a transaction revenue as well as a pledge repledge. It is a facility which will enable the transaction income as well as the overall transaction-based revenue which CDSL earns. It is become fairly popular in terms of pledge-repledge. Only our charges are far lower than the normal transfer which we do for a pledge-repledge. So first leg it is 5 rupees, but later on for repledge and release it's 1 rupee. So this is to ensure that more and more people join the ecosystem, make it as a part and parcel of their. So I think the important thing is that we are seeing some good healthy numbers, and that is growing, I think probably every quarter on quarter. So more and more people are joining the queue. In terms of your early pain because of peak margin, yes, that will continuously change tomorrow. There may be some other rules, etc. So the important thing is that the CDSL has the requisite platforms to cater mm-hmm. to the requirements as and when the market wants. And at least our focus has been that we keep our platform really up and running, and whichever way the it's similar to basically a road which is built. Now, whether you have cars running on it or the SUVs running on it or, you know, that depends on the, it is a function of supply and demand. And I think that is what is our focus. We don't go after a particular line of business. We just kind of ensure that there is a ease for the client and customer so more and more people can join our fold.
Got it, sir. So another question was basically the 28.8 crores of annual issue charges. It will be great if you can break it down into listed and unlisted.
We don't give that numbers, unfortunately. I think the important thing is that it is continuing to grow. And most of it, if you see quarter on quarter, more and more people, a new IPO is coming as well as new unlisted companies which are coming. So as per the current framework, we don't give out those
things. Okay, sir. And finally, on online data charges, I just wanted to understand the broader pie how much eKYC, eSign and normal KYC or KRA income contributes? So I believe still the lion's share comes from normal KRA rather than coming from eKYC and eSign. These new additions of lines coming from eSign will be significant or still the main KRA income will continue to be the major revenue generator for the data online income?
Unfortunately, we don't give any futuristic views. So I think we'll have to wait and watch.
But if you can give the mix of online data income into...
Again, we don't give that mix as per the current framework. This is what we do. Like we, I said that the earlier question also, we don't give the mix. So it continues.
Got it, sir. So finally on IPO income, so it is almost, if you earn so much that it is equivalent to last year full year income, almost closer to full year income in the current quarter, 21.5 crores. So can you just tell us how much income a single IPO, a big IPO can, just wanted to understand the broad working. For every application, how much you charge, then for allocating, how much you charge, and finally, crediting it, how much you charge. So basically, just wanted to understand, given the pipeline is so high going ahead, just wanted to focus how the IPO income will play out in subsequent two quarters.
Yeah, so I think we'll have to see, because again, a futuristic, we'll not able to give on how many IPOs actually hit the market. It's a formula-based approach and it's objective-driven. So it depends on the number of folios, the number of the value. I'll ask Ram Kumar to just give a broad framework on how it's charged.
Sir, as far as the charging is concerned, there are two charges that one would have to pay as an issuer to the depository. First is, in terms of applications, there is a verification charge, which is 1 rupee per application, if I may put it that way. And then the second is for the credit which you asked, it is 10 rupees per record or per BOID. So these are the two charges that an issuer would have to pay for processing an IPO.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Alok Shah from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And sir, heartiest congratulations on excellent set of numbers. I clearly understand that from what we hear on the call, that there are a lot of revenue drivers which are in pipeline, beating some of account aggregator or even the gold spot and then the payment bank opportunity. Sir, would you kind of talk about how these things could shape up from a near-term perspective? Maybe not nearly near-term, is 2 to 3 quarters, but from a 2 to 3 years time frame. Certainly from the fact that you are kind of a data pool. You know, CDSL is more about data pool. So what could be the synergies that could play out through all of these opportunities?
I think overall it's basically from a physical footprint to an electronic or a digital footprint is where the entire ecosystem is moving towards. And it is an interconnectedness of various platforms, be it your eKYC to eSign to account opening to transactions to your consolidated account statements. So I think it's moving more towards a paperless kind of a platform. And that kind of brings in a lot of stability, that despite in COVID, as we've seen in the last 1.5 years, the business has not only been as usual, but has seen some growth also. Mm. And I think that's the entire vision in which that we want to move away from a paper-based processing to a kind of electronic-based processing. This kind of ensures that the entire system becomes the core and human beings become the support. And I think that's an important change in paradigm which is happening fairly rapidly to ensure that people are able to access platforms and basically applications from the comfort of their homes also. And that's how it's going to kind of pan out, not only in the securities market, but in the commodities market, in the spot commodities market. And I think the reforms which we are seeing in the securities market will kind of get extended to all these markets. And there's going to be some kind of linkage happening between these markets as we move forward about 2 or 3 years from now.
Sure, this helps. So just quickly on data keeping questions, I missed out the numbers there. But the transactions revenue were 49.75 crores and the IPO charges revenue were 21 crores.
Yes.
Okay, and the online data charges were 38 crores.
Online data was 30.28 crores.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you and wish you a happy Diwali to any of you.
Thank you, wish you the same.
Thank you. Request participants to limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Franklin Moraes from Equinvest Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I wanted to understand on the IFSC subsidiary, the one which we have, recently started. What is the status like, in terms of, the revenues and what is the kind of potential that we are seeing over there?
Yeah. So we have made a disclosure sometime last month that there is a consortium formed in the IFSC of the India INX, which is a BSE exchange, the NSE, MCX, NSDL, and CDSL. They're equal partners as part of the consortium. There has been an in-principle agreement reached that there is going to be only one single depository in the IFSC space, both for securities and bullion. And that would be kind of purchased by this consortium as we move forward. So it will, I think as the products and platforms grow in there, both on the bullion side as well as on the securities side, this will be the only single depository which is there, and CDSL will continue to be an equal partner as part of the consortium.
So by equal, you mean like we would be having about a 31/3 stake in this?
It will be, we have five partners, about 1/5.
Okay. And as of now, we are not generating
that,
any...
And that consortium would also own the entire ecosystem in the bullion. So it will be the exchange clearing corporation also. So it will not only be restricted to the depository business. It will also be in the revenues earned on the exchange and clearing corporation on the bullion side.
So as of now, the revenues would not be very material. Would that be correct?
Yes, it has not yet started giving any material revenues. You're absolutely right. But there is a lot of promise as we move forward.
And in terms of the cost, you mentioned that, technologies are backbone and we expect to, keep investing in technology and employees as well. Considering that our income is, running much ahead of, what was the trajectory in the past, few years, I expect that probably we would be spending incrementally a bit more on these, avenues. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, the important thing is that we continue to assess that the technology is in sync with the increasing business volumes and the employees who are processing this business also is kind of adequate to ensure this. So it will see probably in absolute numbers it will go up. We'll have to wait and watch in terms of the percentage to revenue, whether it will go up or go down or remain constant.
So when we, budget for these, do we budget them in absolute terms or do we have a percentage of revenue kind of metric for, building in these costs?
I think that's more of a micro question for the management, but I think important thing is that we want to ensure that we have adequate infrastructure to kind of both in terms of people and systems to kind of garner the business growth which is kind of expected. And the scalability of the infra is also an important aspect that as and when business grows, we are able to really scale up also very quickly.
Thank you. I would request Ms. Murai to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So, we have seen very healthy growth in the account addition, view account addition, and that has been sustaining since the last 2 years. But that was because we had exclusive agreement with the discount brokers, right? But now the bank owned broker also becoming aggressive on the discount broking side, and the price parity is somewhat coming down. So, and with the bank owned brokers, we don't have that exclusive agreement that we have with the online broker. So, do we see that as a risk in terms of the healthy account addition that we are having? So that can slow down as more and more people shift to the bank owned brokers.
Yeah, I think my intent as a management is to give the best in class platform and the value proposition, leave it to the market to decide. Even the discount brokers had and continue to have a choice of both the platforms. They have chosen to remain with one. And I think as long as you have, you can provide that value proposition, you leave it to the market to kind of take a call. So I'm not too worried about how the market shapes up, as long as you're able to give value proposition and basically the ease of doing business, you're going to see volumes and traction coming. At least that is the hope and wish.
Okay.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Chandra to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sanket Godha from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Data keeping question. What is the regulatory cost and bad debt or debt provisioning cost in the current quarter, which was not disclosed this time in the big PT?
I'll ask Girish to answer that.
So, provision on doubtful debtors was around 3 crores. And with respect to the regulatory cost, the investor, the contribution that we are supposed to make to IPF is 3.76 crore in this quarter. SEBI fees of roughly 64 lakhs. And incentive that we are supposed to pay to DPs as per SEBI circular is around 1.57 crore.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Paresh Sangani from Club Millionaire. Please go ahead.
Okay. Most of the questions have been answered, especially on the account aggregator side. But I would want a query on how the government digital products are proceeding.
Yeah, so basically we are going to implement the phase two, but due to the COVID circumstances where people had to actually send in their certificates and couriers, post, etc. are not being available, it has been postponed. So now we'll have to actually wait and for the decision of the SEBI appointed committee, and once they inform us, we are ready to process those certificates which come.
Okay, Sunil, that's all, and thank you, gentlemen, for everything so far, and just wish you good health and good safety.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
No, so I just wanted to state that all of you remain safe under these unprecedented times, and wish you all the very best, and wishing you and your family a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.